always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Hello and welcome to Thursday afternoon here on Columbo and Katie on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Got a packed show for you today. Lots to talk about. Lots of people to talk to. I'm Tony. You're Katie. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. I'm good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Gonna dive into some national headlines here in a minute, and then we are going to get into some local issues when we talk to Missouri State Representative Justin Sparks in just about 15 minutes from now. We will get the latest from Jeff City from the Missouri Legislative Session, a follow-up on our conversation with Rodney Boyd yesterday. There has been some movement, some momentum in Jeff City, but at least in it. My opinion, not as much as I thought there was going to be going into this week. I felt like we left last week off on with the wind at our back. It seemed like there were some things happening, and
now it's slow as
so
molasses.
Often happens. It just fades away.
I do want to say, before we get started really quickly, for those that are having to watch us on an alternative stream besides Rumble, I am working on it, right? Today and yesterday, Rumble was lagging a little bit. I'm working on Rumble again. That stream will be up momentarily. I just want to let folks know that we are working on that right now.
Oh, very good. So I want to get into, let's start with an update on the protests. So yesterday, we did a story about how smart we are and how we were proven right when we had made the prediction. And this is not a bold prediction, but, you know, unfortunately, you don't hear enough people saying this, that we believe that the majority of the protesters on these college campuses don't even know what they're protesting.
Yes.
They don't understand. And it was, and we did that story yesterday where Lawrence Jones from Fox News was interviewing protesters on campus, and they were literally saying, well, we're here because we are calling for peace. And Lawrence Jones said, well, okay, but what about October 7th? What about Hamas killing babies, killing women, raping women, taking hostages?
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
And they said, "Well, that didn't happen. That was just misreporting. That's all been debunked." And then he holds up the UN report, the UN, not a report from Israel, not a report from the United States, a report from the UN, and says, "Well, the UN says it did, and here's the details." And they look at each other. The one looks at it's two young ladies, and one looks at the other one and goes, "Didn't this get debunked?" Like that. Moment of realization, like, are we the bad guys? Are we on the wrong team here? Well, that happened again. We've been proven right again, and in another area, but that same thing happened again today. Another anti-Israel protester admitted she doesn't know why she was protesting at NYU. There's a piece of video, I was trying to get the sound, that was posted last night by Rudy Giuliani. When's the last time you heard anything from Rudy Giuliani? He's getting back.
Yeah, where's he? Where'd he go? I think he was in deep trouble.
He got the video. He posted it along with the statement. This young woman in the video is a perfect example of the modern American left and their indoctrination of young people. They don't know what they're doing and who they are serving. She's just one of many examples of the deterioration of our education system here in America, unquote, from Rudy Giuliani. And same situation. She's being interviewed. The interviewer's off camera. I'm not sure who it is, but they're asking, like, you know, why are you here? Oh, I came from Columbia and we're here to protest the NYU and what NYU is doing to Palestinian students and how they're stopping the protests and they're not allowed. And the interviewer says, what's NYU doing? Like, specifically, what are you protesting? She goes, actually, I don't. I came from Columbia. I don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that we were told that protesters here needed support. So we came to support them. Then she, just like yesterday in the Lawrence Jones interview, she gets help from another protester. Mm-hmm. Hey, Cindy, why are we here again? And Cindy literally says, I wish I was more educated about this because I don't know either. They don't know what they're protesting.
But the other part that is problematic in this is that we have young people willing to go from university to university to university, as you just highlighted, for no reason at all.
Mm-hmm.
But they're willing to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why this is detrimental to conservatism, to being a Republican, to believing in conservatism or like a right side-minded thinker.
Mm-hmm.
Because the young people that are hyper-progressive are willing to do just about anything if they are called to action. And I don't know, maybe Republicans do, maybe there are young Republicans that are willing to do that. And I hope and pray that when they go to be proactive, they know what they're being proactive about. But it's a scary notion to think that there is a complete ideology and a complete side that has young people being called to action and the young people answering that call saying, I don't know what we're fighting for, but because Ilhan Omar asked me to do it, because AOC asked me to do it,
yeah,
I'm going to go ahead and I'll go from Columbia to New York City and I'll make that trek and I'll go to the university because they needed happy warriors. They needed mm-hmm. soldiers there. And I'm going to go do it.
You know what else it shows? It shows the system, that there's a very coordinated system. Like, who got them that message? What do you mean we heard they needed support?
This is what I said when you brought up the military. I think that word was so perfect when you brought up that and linking that to Hamas. When you read that report 2 days ago about how they're militant, Hamas is militant and strategic and they know what they're doing. This is what is fearful to me. The words that they use and the language that they use to get to these younger people is militant, is strategic. So who the heck is at the top of the ticket sending out the information mm-hmm. from the college campuses?
Mm-hmm.
Who has access to a database like that
mm-hmm.
to send something like that out?
Yep. I found the sound. Can you put me up here?
Go ahead.
This is the sound that we're just talking about. This was posted by Rudy Giuliani. This is a protester at NYU this week.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting?
Palestine will be
free! I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either.
Oh.
I came from Columbia.
Support for what?
When she asks her friend, I forgot about that. She said, do you know what they're... Oh, sorry. I swear I hit the stop button. That's 2 days in a row. My fault. She asks her friends, you know, like, do you know what NYU is doing? And she goes, what do you mean? About what? She says, why we're here protesting.
Yeah,
why we're protesting.
Do you know why we're protesting?
And the friend's answer was, I wish I was more educated.
And then you know what?
I mean, holy cow.
They do this interview and then I'm sure they turned around and started protesting again.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just like, after a moment like that, you would think someone would take a moment and just say like, Wait, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Guarantee they started hanging up their talismans.
I don't really know what they're doing. Do you know what they're doing? Who? NYU. About what? Why we're protesting?
Why are we here?
So they don't know what they're doing. And the other thing that we were proven right on is that you can't trust, again, not bold predictions, but still something that we've been talking about. You can't trust the media's description of what is happening on campus. If you're not, I talked about when I was covering protests in Ferguson and downtown and other places, how I would be blown away by being at a protest all day and then getting home that night and turning on the television and hearing the way it was talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, another peaceful night in Ferguson, nonviolent protests. And I'm like, what?
Did you see what I saw?
Yeah. Did you? If you were there, would you have felt like it was a peaceful night? I don't know anybody that was there that would think that. So we just talked about this type of situation. Headline. A Columbia professor barred from campus after hosting a pro-Jewish rally slammed Representative AOC Wednesday following her comments on the non-violent anti-Israel protesters. So yesterday, AOC posted on Twitter, quote, calling in police enforcement on non-violent demonstrators of young students on campus is an escalatory, reckless, and dangerous act. It represents a heinous failure of leadership that puts people's lives at risk. I condemn it in the strongest possible terms. Her rhetoric came as chaos on Columbia's campus ignited concerns over the Jewish community as they feared for the students' safety. One rabbi even warned Jewish students to leave campus, cautioning that NYPD, quote, cannot guarantee your safety. I think I said this was yesterday. This was 2 days ago. The reports were that the protesters were chanting, Al-Qassam, you make us proud. Kill another soldier now. We say justice. You say how. Burn Tel Aviv to the ground. And another chant was, Hamas, we love you. We support your rockets, too. Does that sound like a peaceful, nonviolent situation? Or does that sound like something that you'd want some police around?
But isn't it kind of baffling that when that girl, just going back to the audio that you just played,
mm-hmm.
when that girl was describing why she was called to action to come from Columbia to NYC was because she said she heard that it was dangerous. She heard there were threats of danger.
Right.
Now, I imagine that she was referring to students being in danger by police officers,
yes,
by maybe Jewish students, by teachers, by professors that were trying to combat the movement, yet failing to understand that people part of her movement, people part of her protest, are saying stuff like this.
Yeah.
Threatening people.
Yeah. If a group of students is being told to just get out of there because the police cannot guarantee your safety, that is not a peaceful demonstration.
No, it is
that is not.
Not
a peaceful atmosphere.
Those poor Jewish students. My gosh.
So also part of that story, students were who had formed the encampment at Columbia University in New York in protest of Israel's war were met with the full force of the New York Police Department. That's what AOC was condemning after the school reversed course to allow law enforcement personnel on campus, prompting the backlash from AOC. This is great. This is the police fighting back. And it's something you don't see very often. The New York Police Department Chief John Chell thinks the school made the right choice in letting cops back on campus, saying in a statement yesterday, quote, truly amazing. Columbia decided to hold its students accountable to the laws of the school. They are seeing the consequences of their actions. Something these kids were most likely never taught. In another post, he said, good SAT scores and self-entitlement do not supersede the law. Columbia decided to hold its students accountable to the laws of the school. I am sure you would agree that we have to teach them these valuable skills. He also defended his officers and called out AOC directly. Again, this is the NYPD Chief John Chell. As I mentioned earlier, she said calling in police enforcement on nonviolent demonstrators demonstrations of young students on campus is an escalatory, reckless, and dangerous act. She followed that up with saying, quote, not only did Columbia make the horrific decision to mobilize New York police on their own students, but the units called in have some of the most violent reputations on the force. She said NYPD had promised the city that they wouldn't deploy SRG, Strategic Response Group, to the protest, to which the chief replied, quote, I was with those units that you describe as having the most violent reputations. These units remove students with great care and professionalism. Not a single incident was reported. The only incidents that day on campus were the students' hateful anti-Semitic speech and their vile language towards our cops. I'm sure you agree. This is directly at AOC, which I love. I'm sure you agree that any hateful speech is unacceptable. You should rethink your comments to a simple thank you to the New York Police Department, and hate has no place in our society.
My gosh.
It's about time. It's about time to hear a law enforcement leader push back and stand up for what they're doing, putting themselves in danger to try to break up this ridiculousness.
We are going to see so much more of this happening. And especially, I asked the question today off air, how much longer can this go on? How much longer are we going to see congressmen and women speaking like AOC and Ilhan Omar? How much longer are we going to see protests happening on university campuses? I mean, what is the line for it to be enough? Mm-hmm. Does someone have to get hurt for it to be enough?
No. What it won't be, it's never enough. It's never enough. It's never enough. But if Israel called a ceasefire tomorrow, they would be on to the next whatever it is.
This is just out of control, though. This is out of control. And I worry that no one's going to put a stop to it. And when they do it, it's going to be too late. I hate to say it that way, but I am worried.
Well, for a school like Columbia to change their policy and allow the cops to come back in,
I think that they're just like, we.
And for the cops to push back on AOC like that, at least there is finally some level of common sense breaking through, which is rare.
Rare, yeah.
Unfortunately. All right. As I said, we got a packed show today. What a perfect day to talk to the president of Accuracy in Media. Coming off of that last story, that's a perfect conversation that we will have a little bit later on in the show with Adam Gilletti. I believe is how we pronounce his last name. We'll talk to Adam, the president of Accuracy in Media, at about 3:25. Our buddy Brian Eggers from Eggers HVAC is here and going to be joining us at about 2:45. And as I mentioned, we are going to get an update on everything happening here locally, specifically with the Missouri legislative session, which is in the home stretch right now there in Jeff City. State Representative Justin Sparks joins us next on Columbo and Katie.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Something in my heart.
Welcome back to Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. So we're going to talk to Missouri State Representative Justin Sparks, and let's get Justin on the line because I want to get his reaction to this as well. Representative Sparks, how are you? Are you there?
I sure am.
Excellent. So this is literally live radio in action here. Breaking news. We were just talking, giving the latest update on these protests on college campuses across the country, specifically Columbia and NYU. And we go to break. We say we're going to switch gears. We're going to switch to Missouri politics with Justin Sparks. And Katie gets a notification just now at break that one of our Facebook posts, our News Talk STL Facebook posts about the college protests, has been taken down. And it was just a New York Post story?
So this is a New York Post story that I had repurposed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The story on New York Post, you can see it right now. Barnard College suspends at least 53 students over Columbia anti-Israel protests. This is a report from them.
Yeah.
I repurposed that. The only thing I said in the headline was a portion of what they put in the body. So the students have been evicted from the campus and lost access to most of its facilities. I posted this 2 days ago, and I get a notification on our Facebook right now saying, we removed your post. This is why it's happening. It looks like you tried to get likes, follows, and shares with or views in a misleading way. And it says, see the rules on why your information was misleading. And it directs me to a post for Facebook's community standards.
Wow.
This is a repurposed article from the New York Post.
Yeah, it's a New York Post article that we're that we shared. And that language from Facebook, Justin, is amazing to me. It looks like you're trying to gain views, downloads, clicks by sharing misinformation. I mean, what? I think that's that is absolutely incredible. I know that again, you know, this was not what I intended to start the conversation with, but you know, this is a case that we are a part of. News Talk STL is a part of. That was started by Eric Schmidt when he was AG. It's been kept alive by Andrew Bailey about big tech and these big social media platforms and their ability to censor conservative media or any media that they disagree with, and how they can control a large chunk of the informational flow that gets to people in Missouri and across the country. Is this issue one that has been discussed or you know, any part of any discussion during this legislative session, Justin? Because with everything else going on, I mean, I don't even remember this being on the docket at any point. But it's another one of those things. It's a very important issue.
So this goes to the heart of our republic, and the word you're actually searching for is fascism. Let's all say it together.
Yes.
Fascism.
Yes.
Right? Because when private companies censor you at the behest of the federal government, which we now know they absolutely did starting in 2020 with the election, through COVID, and now today, now we're dealing with anti-Semitism. And it's not just here in the United States, it's Australia with the priest that was stabbed by the radical Islamist that they're now asking and demanding Elon Musk to take off of all worldwide videos of that going viral on X. So what we have is an absolute systemic, concentrated, coordinated effort to censor and shut people up and shut people down that are simply saying and speaking the truth. So this is the existential crisis of our time. We're right over the target, and we've now identified it clearly. The election, COVID, up until today, was a desensitization process of basically mind control over the American people and over Western civilization at large. And now you're seeing you can't even share a story from an actual news source without being accused of some obscure, stupid rule violation. And oh, by the way, we're just going to go ahead and expand FISA while you're not looking. The government's ability to spy on its own people.
Absolutely. And just to wrap up the point about these protests, it's one of those issues that could easily be for people here in Missouri and Illinois to look at these situations, these pictures on television, and say, okay, well, you know, this is happening in New York, and you know, these protests that happened, and you know, on the Golden Gate Bridge in California. Man, those people in New York and in California are crazy. But thank goodness we don't have to worry about it. You know, but that's not the case. Have you guys heard any? Much like, you know, every state's a border state now. You know, just because you're not on the southern border doesn't mean that immigration doesn't impact you directly. Have you guys heard of any movement or any of these protests trying to make their way into Missouri? Is it something that you have heard reports on, or have had any discussions to combat, you know, what we're seeing in those areas coming to our state?
It's only a matter of time. And what you'll see is what they're trying to go for right now is the contagion effect to start and spread violent protests wherever they can be found. And guys, you're starting to realize that you shouldn't waste your money on so-called Ivy League educations, or you shouldn't waste a dollar on a so-called elite four-year school. How stupid. Do you know what four-year schools, these well, so-called elite universities are chock full of? Terrorists. That's who they're chock full of. They're chock full of stupid people.
Yes, idiots. Stupid. I was going to say that. You said, I was going to say they're full of idiots. Yes. Yes.
Isn't that terrible? Isn't that terrible that we're sitting here and you're paying all this money, you got yourself a great SAT score, and you know nothing of the world? You're a fool. And I know it sounds terrible. It's like, one, we're not throwing bombs here. This is actually accurate and true.
No.
Just go interview. Go interview anybody on a college campus.
No, you're so
tell you all about.
You're so spot on. Yeah, you're so spot on. We played sound earlier on this show and yesterday. Two different pieces of sound from two different interviews with two different protesters that had no idea what they were protesting. These anti-Israel protesters. One said that they were protesting, why are you here? She said, well, we're here to advocate for peace. And then was asked, well, why about, well, then what do you, how do you justify October 7th? And she said, oh, that was debunked. That didn't even, October 7th didn't happen. Israel just attacked.
That's so dangerous.
Yeah, it's so, they are idiots. And we played one today that was posted on Twitter last night by Rudy Giuliani, of all people, at NYU, with the same thing. A protester asked, why are you here? What specifically are you protesting? And she said, I don't know. We were just called. She said, I was at Columbia, and somebody said that they needed, that the protesters here at NYU needed support, so we came down. She literally said, I don't know what we're protesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a stretch or hyperbole to call these people idiots.
No.
But
no,
what,
this week, yeah, this week is October 7th. Next week, we'll be debunking the Holocaust.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, Justin, what happens to the kids that were sent home for the rest of the semester? Although, it is short. It's only a month more until school is out. But what happens to the students that were sent home to virtual learn for the rest of the semester? What happens to the students that didn't feel safe to go across their own campus and decided to virtually learn on their own or go back home early? I mean, what happens to these kids that just lost out on a semester's worth of college because of the danger that they felt that they were in?
Yeah. What a great question. And that is a macrocosm of a smaller microcosm that's happening in schools, our little public schools in our own little districts here in St. Louis. They suffer, Katie. They suffer, and there's no recourse, and they get no relief. They're told to go home, too bad, oh well, these people over here screaming about hating the Jews, free Palestine, they're more important, and we value them more than you do. It's no different than in our public schools here locally, in which bad behavior doesn't get punished. Instead, it gets rewarded and tolerated at the cost of all the other students that fail to learn and have to go to school every day, roll their eyes as a behavioral problem sits next to them and isn't addressed.
Absolutely. And it's a perfect leads us in perfectly to the conversation that I intended to start with as we talked to Missouri State Representative Justin Sparks. Just about 3 weeks to go in the legislative session. It is a crunch time for you guys there in Jeff City. And speaking of education reform, you just touched on it. When we talked to you last week, that was the big news of the day. And it was a very positive sign. I felt like there was some momentum being generated. But then this week it got quieter than I thought. I thought this week was going to sort of ramp up with the news or maybe some other votes or some other things getting addressed, and instead it seemed to get quieter. Am I accurate, or did I just miss something? What was the big news of the week?
That's right. So last week we talked about a collaborative effort where, as we worked on the school ed reform bill, and in exchange, the initiative petition reform would be taken up this week. And true to form, the initiative petition bill that we have worked before, long before I got to the legislature 7 years ago, finally came up today from the Senate. We truly agreed and passed it and sent it back to the Senate to be finally, truly agreed and finally passed. So I am happy to report, guys, that the Missouri House of Representatives has finally passed initiative petition with the ballot language intact and has sent it to the Senate for a final vote.
Nice.
How do you feel about the what's going to happen in the Senate? Are we confident that this is going to get through?
No, we are not confident at all. So here's how we are going to say a prayer, Tony.
Yeah.
And we are also going to put the full pressure of the Missouri people. The people must have their voice heard. And no matter what, all these conversations we keep having, everywhere I go is, why aren't we doing what we have to do? Why aren't we re-governing? Right? Why isn't the Republican Party governing and doing what it said it was going to do and protect our Constitution so it can't be manipulated? And I say to them, we are, and we need your help. And right now, we need the public's help. I need you to contact your senators and tell them, I want SJR 74 initiative petition reform passed with the ballot language intact.
I've told you before, we've talked about this many, many times. I've literally never heard anybody that hasn't said that any person in Missouri government anywhere say that this IP reform doesn't need to happen. So if it doesn't, I want to put the people that stopped it from happening. I want to know who they are. Exactly what they did, and I think that needs to be put out there because somebody's not telling the truth. If this doesn't get done, somebody's not telling the truth because everybody says publicly that it has to happen, and yet to this point it still hasn't happened, but hopefully we are right on the cusp of getting that done. Before we run out of time, Justin, I wanted to ask you the specifics. We touched on this yesterday, but didn't really get into the details of it. One bill that was passed was to defund Planned Parenthood. Seemed like a big win for Republicans in Jeff City this week. Can you explain what happened there?
Yeah, it was a great bill that I spoke on and got point of ordered, which means the Democrats started shrieking uncontrollably when I started speaking three different times, which was great. And it's funny because the chamber was full of the news media, and yet that never made it on the news. I wonder why. Just looking at you, Fox, too. Anyway, the point is, it's okay because I'm used to a biased reporting and not the truth not being told, which is fine. But what we did was essentially said that our tax dollars are no longer going to support an organization that traffics minors across state lines to get abortions. Okay, so that's what we have. We have Planned Parenthood is taking children, minors, 13, 14 years old, across the border of Missouri to neighboring states to get abortions. We have it on camera, and they're currently under investigation by the Attorney General right now. And we have said in our state that our Medicaid, Medicare dollars, our tax dollars, are not going to support an organization that does that. End of story.
Yeah, go ahead, Katie. Katie's shaking her head.
It is baffling to me that an organization like that could get away with
I know.
Something as sure. tragic, as deceptive, as disgusting, as dangerous. I mean, honest to God, I'm just shaking my head, Justin, listening to this, because I cannot believe we are talking about an evil organization messing with minors, with children.
Mm-hmm.
Where, again, this whole week, the theme of everything that's popping out of my mouth are, where are the damn parents?
Yeah.
Where are the freaking parents? You step up.
Yeah.
Where are step the up adults? And do your job. Be a parent.
Do your job.
Mm-hmm. Justin, so we've got the IP. The IP bill is sitting there, and we'll be, you know, we'll have hopefully some closure one way or the other very, very soon. Obviously, the budget is always a big thing that is, a big hindrance. Well, it's supposed to get done, but it's a big time eater. Let's say that. So that obviously is out there and is going to take up a bunch of your time. So outside of the budget and IP reform, is there anything else that there's even time to address? Are there any other priority issues that are going to that you anybody else is going to try to get something done before we run out of time?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at ranked choice voting in the House, which a Senate bill has already been passed. So we're looking at ranked choice voting that'll be going through committee next week, and which basically keeps our voting process and the integrity of our voting process the way it is right now. And we are also looking at HJR 131, which is a constitutional amendment, which would basically give the voters the choice on the abortion issue. You would have the choice to vote to bring abortion back into Missouri into the Constitution, or you would be able to choose to not do that. So it would give a pro-life choice and an abortion choice on the ballot. Hopefully we'll get that passed and sent to the Senate. And yes, you're right. The budget is a huge deal, because what we've heard, the process in the Senate's a little different than in the House, but what we've heard is that essentially the Senate is going full insanity and is going to be proposing a record budget, possibly even more than the governor proposed, which was a record budget in and of itself. And that's just unsustainable for the future of our state. So a huge fight is coming, guys, and the storm clouds are brewing.
Well, we appreciate you keeping us informed and up to speed on all of this, these issues, these important issues, and hopefully that we'll keep people engaged and fighting for the things that are important to voters all over the state of Missouri. Justin Sparks joins us every Thursday afternoon here on Columbo and Katie. Outside of Thursday afternoons with us, remind folks how they can follow you, everything you're working on, social media, websites, all that good stuff.
Sure. Justin Sparks on Facebook, Justin M. Sparks on X, sparksformissouri.com. God bless you guys.
Yeah, back at you. Thank you so much. That is Missouri Representative Justin Sparks. All right, we are going to have another guest on live in a studio with us. I am always so happy when company comes over. We're going to be joined by Brian Agers from Agers Heating and Air Conditioning. Obviously, we're right in the middle of one of these transitions. A lot of air conditioners going to be getting turned on for the first time. Maybe some of us have had it on for a month. No big deal.
There's
no judgment here.
Some. 50%
some people turn their air conditioner on when it's 65 degrees outside. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we'll talk to Brian about that. Also, something I want to talk to him about. With all this madness happening on college campuses, what a perfect advertisement for the trades.
Like, yeah, buddy.
How about avoid all of that and go get a great job, needed, well-paying job that you can have a great career.
Like that.
Yeah, and not be one of these idiots on a college campus somewhere protesting something that you don't even understand. So I'm sure Brian will be thrilled that we're going to get a little political with him.
We'll
see if he stays. Yeah, right. I love it. That is Brian Agers, and he will join us next here on Columbo and Katie.
Your love made it well worth waiting.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Welcome back to Columbo and Katie on 119-941 News Talk STL. Big thanks again to Missouri State Representative Justin Sparks for joining us in that last segment. If you missed that conversation and just want to make sure you never miss anything that happens here on Columbo and Katie, make sure you're subscribed to our podcast. We put the show out as a podcast right after we get off the air every day. We put it on every podcast platform. So wherever you get your podcast, make sure you're subscribed to Columbo and Katie so you never miss anything that happens here on the show. All right, as I mentioned, joining us now in the studio is our good friend Brian Agers from Agers HVAC. It's been a while, buddy. Great to see you.
It has been a minute, but I am glad to be here. And thanks for having me.
Glad to have you.
So there's a couple of I love when Brian's here, because not only can we get, you know, some great information, especially this time of year. We're going through a transition in the weather out there. A lot of people switching over from the furnace to the air conditioner. We'll get you some, you know, good tips, good information, good things to look out for to keep your home and your HVAC system healthy and all that. But I also want to, in a few minutes, get into, I just mentioned about the trades, you know, and whether, you know, it's just a perfect time to talk about that because of all the madness happening on college campuses. But even if there wasn't, you know, the trade, you know, getting it, that labor force mm-hmm. addressed and mm-hmm. the advantages for young people
mm-hmm.
because of all the openings there, I think are just incredible. So I want to get into that. And I also want to talk about, you know, we've seen a lot of these various new regulations, the attack on everything from microwaves to
gas
ovens,
stoves,
to gas stoves,
gas and furnaces,
refrigerators, and your HVAC systems are not safe either. So I want to get into all of that as we go through the conversation with Brian. But first and foremost, with it being that time of year, I thought we had that little tease of a couple of warm days.
Mm-hmm.
I thought like we were there, but then we've had this little cool down recently. So people not pressing the air conditioners yet, but it's right around the corner, and I'm sure that makes your phone ring a whole bunch.
It does. And, you know, people this time of year usually are in the process of, hey, I know my system's older than dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Come talk to me about a new one, you know, and then they kind of, because the weather's still mild, maybe don't have a great sense of urgency, and then it gets hot, and then it's like, well, come out right now. Can you install it tomorrow? And it's like, well, if it's available, I mean, you know, because you're not the only person that's calling and wanting new equipment. So, I mean, right now the supplies are in good shape. Because of federal tax credits, we are definitely seeing a huge migration toward heat pumps. And for people who don't understand what a heat pump is, it's an air conditioning system that can also run backward. This is the oversimplification of what a heat pump is, mm-hmm. but it can basically change directions of the flow of refrigerant. And instead of air conditioning, it can pull heat from outside and reject it inside. So it's the opposite of what air conditioning does. Still an air conditioner, also a heat pump, can be hooked to a gas furnace. It's called the dual fuel system. Mm-hmm. And there is an insane amount of money right now being offered as rebates from the federal government, from utilities, from manufacturers. And so our average customer is seeing about just under $7,000.
Wow.
In rebates right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang. Wow. That is something that you definitely want to take advantage of while you can, especially if, and I would imagine this is another big one that happens this time of year and also again in the fall. If last summer you were sort of limping and you're mm-hmm. like, I'm not going to have my air conditioner fixed in September. We just got to, you know, the winter's right around the corner.
Yeah.
That's forever. Well, we won't need this air conditioner again. Who even knows if we're even going to live here when the summer comes again? Yeah. And then that's that big realization of turn it on and go, oh no, I forgot.
And that's an age old game that people play of, you know, well, I'll just push it off till later. That's a super dangerous game to play at this mm-hmm. moment in time because, and we can get into it maybe a little bit more in the next segment, but with the refrigerant changes that are, they're coming, and they're coming as quickly as 2 months from now.
Oh, wow.
And so, because manufacturers are going to start switching over their production lines, because who's going to wait to switch everything over until they don't have a choice, you know?
Right.
So with the refrigerant change and all the nuance that comes with that, comes a price tag of what we're being told is 25% to 30% more for basically the same efficiency equipment that you can buy today. You're going to spend 25% to 30% more on that equipment once we flip the switch over to the new A2L slightly flammable refrigerants.
Oh my God. Well, we're definitely going to get in that because I have lots of questions.
Mm-hmm.
We have just a couple minutes left here. What are some of the, as people are turning on their air conditioners, what are some of the things that, you know, we always talk about changing the filter. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that people can do just at home to, you know, give their system the best chance of working properly? And also, like, what are the signs that you could be looking out for this time of year that there might be?
Yeah, if you haven't had your equipment serviced in a while, it's a great time to have that done. You know, a lot of people think, is it really hocus pocus or does this matter? And the short answer is it does matter. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you want to have a reputable company and somebody who's not looking to snow you into, oh, well, this is broke down and you've got to buy new. That's not a thing. I mean, it is a thing, but it shouldn't be. But, you know, yes, it's checking the filter. It's making sure that the condenser outside is clean. You know, mm-hmm. If it looks like it had a visit from ZZ Top, maybe it's time to call a contractor and get the beard shaved off of it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just simple things like that. When you turn it on for the first time in the season, making sure that you walk outside as soon as it kicks on, make sure the fan's operating and everything looks normal and sounds normal. And that's about the extent of what a homeowner can do. Some people like to wash out their own condenser coils, which is fine as long as you don't do something silly with a power washer or a high pressure nozzle.
Because
we've had people,
a jackhammer.
We've had people destroy a 2-year-old air conditioner because they decided to power wash it and it just folds it over.
No, that's why you call the pros. You don't know what you're doing.
Or put acid cleaner on it and it eats the coils up. It's like,
nope. Call Eggers. In fact, it's calleggers.com to get in contact with Eggers HVAC if you are having any of those issues as you're turning on your air conditioner for the first time this season. Going to continue the conversation with Brian Eggers. When I ask him about these regulations, sounds like they're right around the corner. How do we prepare for that? And we'll have that conversation and more next here on Columbo and Katie.